This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sister Anam from Canada emails saying that she has a, looks like obviously she's an unmarried lady. She has a proposal from a person and she has prayed istikhara. And her question is that she is confused about the interpretation of the istikhara. What does it mean? So she's asking, she's emailing saying, what are the signs that she should be looking for when it comes to istikhara and how can she make a decision?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Now this is a very good question and it's basically a question about the Salatul Istikhara. And before I begin the answer, let me just say to Sister Anam and all the young men and women who are worried about marriage and whatnot, I mean, obviously, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to find a righteous spouse for you. And the Salat al-Istikhara is a very, very necessary step as you undertake this decision. In fact, in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is explicitly mentioned that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would teach us istikhara for marriage and for other purposes. And that is why istikhara is associated with marriage. Unfortunately, the average Muslim or many people believe istikhara is only for marriage. And this is a big mistake. No, istikhara is for any major decision. And that's why the hadith says of Jabir ibn Abdullah and others, the Prophet ﷺ taught us istikhara for marriage and similar things. What does it mean and similar? Means of anything of importance. Anything that is a significant decision that we are required, not required, we are strongly encouraged to pray Salatul Istikhara. So, how does one pray Istikhara and what are the realities of Salatul Istikhara? The word Istikhara, it comes from the Arabic word for khair. And khair means good. Khair means that which is beneficial. Istikhara means to ask for that which is beneficial, to seek that which is good. That is the meaning of the word Salatul Istikhara. And the notion of praying Istikhara, it is something that is done for any major decision, as we said, before you actually do the decision, before you sign the contract, before you, you know, take the job, before you move cities, before you do the actual, whatever major thing you have in your mind, you pray Salatul Istikhara. And there's another thing that you're supposed to do, along with obviously contemplation and decision making, two main things that you do. I spoke about this many times. Ibn Taymiyyah mentions that our scholars of the past said that whoever does istikhara and istishara will have no regrets. Two things, istikhara, istishara. Istikhara, you ask Allah Azza wa Jal for what is best. Istishara, you ask the people whom you trust for their advice. Mashwara, shura, okay? So istikhara, dua to Allah. Istishara, back and forth dialogue with the people who love you, the people that are experts, the people who know you, the people who know what's going to happen. So if you're going to take a job at a company, you go to the people working in the company. Hey, what do you think? Is it a good company? Do you like it or not? If you're moving to a new city, you're going to ask the Muslims of that city, hey, I'm moving to the city. What are the pros and cons? Tell me. So that's istishara. And we do both of them, istikhara and istishara. And the hadith of istikhara, it is the most authentic hadith in Sahih Bukhari that Jabir ibn Abdullah said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would regularly teach us istikhara in all of our affairs, just like he would teach us a surah from the Quran. This shows us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make it a habit for the Sahaba that they would learn istikhara just like they would learn a surah from the Quran. They would constantly do istikhara for anything that they needed to. And the hadith goes on that he said, when any one of you is concerned with an issue or a matter, when any one of you is concerned, you're troubled, you're bothered, what should I do? When there's a ham, and a ham here means a major decision, you're worrying, plan A, plan B, plan C, which one should I do? And by the way, istikhara doesn't just have to be over two. You can have three offers in front of you. Three companies gave you the job, and you're wondering which one should I take? So you pray istikhara over this, no problem. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when any of you is concerned with an issue or a matter, let him pray two rak'ah that are not fard, i.e. two special rak'ahs for salat al-istikhara, and then let him make this dua. Therefore, when you pray istikhara, you should not use dhuhr prayer or fajr prayer or any other prayer to do istikhara. You should pray two special rak'ahs for salat al-istikhara. Now somebody says, can I combine the sunnah of dhuhr with istikhara? Can I combine the tahiyyatul masjid with istikhara? My response is, I don't even want to go there, my dear brother and sister. Don't be so lazy. Pray two rak'ah, please, okay? Just don't. You have a major decision. You can make two rak'ah. Don't be cheap. Yani, buy one, get one free in this regard. You're making a major decision. Pray your sunnahs and then pray. I'm not saying it's batil. I'm just saying, don't be so stingy, dear Muslim. Pray two rak'ah. It'll take you less than 3 minutes for in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So pray istikhara, special prayer. Now obviously you cannot pray during the prohibited time frames, which is after Fajr until the sun rises, when the sun is above you, when the sun is about to set after Asr. Other than those three prayer timings, any time of the day and night, pray two rak'ah. Special, you may recite anything that you want in it. There's nothing narrated about which surahs you need to recite. And then after the taslim, this is the majority opinion, a small group said before the taslim, but the majority position, because our Prophet ﷺ said that pray two rak'ah and then. When he says and then, this means after the taslim. And then let him say the following dua. Now because istikhara is so important, I'm actually going to translate phrase by phrase, and I'll say it in Arabic as well, so that you can open up a book and write your tashkil and write the dua properly. The dua is as follows. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik. O Allah, I ask you for what is better based upon your knowledge. O Allah, I ask you for the better option based upon your knowledge. Astakhiru, I'm asking which one is better. Bi'ilmika, you have the ilm, O Allah. Wa astaqdiruka biqudratika. And O Allah, I ask you to give me power to do this decision because you are the one that gives the power. Astaqdiruka, I ask you for the power. I ask you for the qudra, the will, the resolve to do it, and then opening up the doors biqudratik, with your qadr and with your qudra, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allow this to happen. Wa as'aluka min fadlika al-azim. And I ask you, O Allah, from your benevolence and your generosity, from your magnanimity, from your blessings, O Allah, I'm asking you. Fa innaka taqdiru wa la aqdir. Because, O Allah, you have power and you are capable, and I have no power and I'm incapable. Wa ta'lamu وَلَا أَعْلَمُ. And you know everything and I know nothing. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And you are the one who knows the unseen. Oh Allah, you know the future. And you know what's going to happen if I choose option A. And you know what's going to happen if I choose option B. Oh Allah, you are the عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ and the عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. You know everything, oh Allah. So of course I ask you which of the two will be better, because you know which of the two will be better. And oh Allah, I ask you not only which one is better, I ask you to give me the power to then undertake the decision to actually choose the one that is better and open up the doors for the one that is better. And then, so this is the muqaddimah, this is the introduction. And then you say the phrase, Allahumma in kunta ta'lamu anna hadha al-amr. Oh Allah, if you know that this matter, hadha al-amr. Now, if you want to add a phrase here, even if you don't speak Arabic, no problem. You can say it in your local language, in your English, whatever it is. Oh Allah, if you know that this matter, yani hadha al-amr, you pause, you say, my accepting the job at this company, or my accepting the proposal of this man, or if you're the man wanting to propose, that if you know that this matter, my proposing to this sister. So you can say it. And if you want, you can be quiet and have it in your niyyah, because Allah knows your niyyah and Allah knows why you're praying istikhara. So either of the two is acceptable, even though there's no question that the better is to verbalize it, because that will be more perfect. And so the reason I said not in Arabic, because obviously not everybody speaks Arabic, so no problem if you say it in another language. Allah understands all languages. So you say, oh Allah, if you know that this matter, خَيْرٌ لِّي فِي دِينِي وَمَعَاشِي وَعَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي, that this matter is better for me in my religion, and for my livelihood, my worldly affairs, and for my akhirah. So look at the three things, subhanAllah. What a beautiful, comprehensive dua. Oh Allah, if you know that this job offer that I'm going to take with the new company, oh Allah, if you know that this proposal in marriage, oh Allah, if you know that my moving from this city to that city will be better for my religion, and be better for my livelihood, and be better for my akhirah, what more do you want? SubhanAllah. All three things. Oh Allah, if you know it'll be better for all of them. And then one version, in another version he says, عَاجِلِ أَمْرِي وَآجِلِي. The affairs of mine that are short term and the affairs of mine that are long term. The affairs of this world and the affairs of the next world. If it is better for me in all of these regard, then what are we supposed to say? فَقْدُرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي. Then, oh Allah, make it possible for me and bless me with the power to do it. فَقْدُرْهُ and فَقْدِرْهُ, both of them are allowed here. وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي, and make it easy for me and then bless me with it. So subhanAllah, once again, a beautiful dua. Number one, give me the power to do it. Number two, make the doing of it easy for me. Number three, once I've done it, bless that decision and make it the best for me. What a beautiful, beautiful dua. And honestly, dear Muslims, it surprises me how stingy some people are with this blessing of istikhara. They don't take advantage of it. And it is one of the best blessings that Allah has blessed this ummah with. Why would you not want to pray istikhara for each and every major decision? So if so, then you say فَقْدِرْهُ لِي or فَقْدُرْهُ لِي وَيَسِرْهُ لِي ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِيهِ, and then you say اللَّهُمَّ إِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, and oh Allah, if you know that this deed or this matter, and then you can say it again, شَرُّ لِي فِي دِينِي وَمَعَاشِي وَعَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي, if it's going to be for my detriment in my religion and for my livelihood and for my next life, in this case, فَصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي وَصْرِفْنِي عَنْهُ, a double. Turn me away from it and turn it away from me. Let the both of us turn our backs and walk away from each other. Let it not be something that I go towards or it comes towards me. Break it away from me and break me away from it. And then you end this dua that in a beautiful way, that اللَّهُمَّ اقْدِرْ لِي الْخَيْرَ حَيْثُ كَانْ or اللَّهُمَّ اقْدِرْ لِي, both are allowed. Oh Allah, decree for me good wherever that is. ثُمَّ رَضِّنِي بِهِ ثُمَّ رَضِّنِي بِهِ, again both are allowed, رَضِّنِي and أَرْضِنِي, and then oh Allah, make me pleased with whatever decision you have made. So the ending is also very powerful, that oh Allah, whatever decision I make, give me the power to do the better of the decision, and then whatever decision has been made, oh Allah, make me content with that decision. Now, this is the famous hadith of Jabir in Sahih Bukhari, and I've explained the entire hadith. So going back, our sister is saying, and it applies to anybody, that any time you're in a major situation, now pause here, we pray istikhara for anything that is significant. And what is significant? You know, it's common sense. You don't pray istikhara to buy a new suit or something. You don't pray istikhara for a trivial matter. But you will pray istikhara for something that is significant. And I gave multiple examples here, right? You want to resign from your job and get another job. That's a very precarious situation. Should I not? You have two jobs on the table, offers. You don't know which one to take, okay? To propose. And this is the rest of your life, your marriage. To change houses. To change locations. These are big decisions. And you're kind of vacillating. Should I not? That's when you pray istikhara. And that's why our Prophet ﷺ said, when one of you is troubled with a matter, when one of you has a ham, and ham is a big decision. So we don't trivialize the religion by making fun of istikhara and doing it for trivial things. We pray istikhara for things of significance. So we pray istikhara with sincerity, with khushu'. We then say the taslim. We raise our hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have not memorized the dua, no problem. You're outside of salah. You may pick up a piece of paper and put it in your hands and read it. Or you may have it in front of you in the book. No problem. Because you're outside of salah. So the dua al-istikhara can be picked up and read from a book. No problem. Now, once you've prayed istikhara and you've made the dua, this is where a lot of cultural mythology starts. This is where a lot of, you know, interesting interpretations happen. Some people say that go to sleep immediately on your right hand side and, you know, make sure you don't drink or eat. Some people say this, some people say that. Some people are going to see a dream, and if the dream has, you know, this color or that color, or, I mean, if it's green, go, red, stop. I don't know what it is. But there is nothing in the Quran and Sunnah about any type of divine sign that will come to you. This type of divine sign is something that is not something that is mentioned in the text. Also, there's another cultural connotation. Listen to this carefully. A lot of people think that when I pray istikhara, I have to cleanse my heart of any bias towards one of the two decisions. And I need to be totally neutral, like something, you know, balancing on a needle, let's say, just complete neutral. And the istikhara is going to come and tip it one way. Psychologically, they feel this way. And again, this is a notion that has no basis in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah, and it contradicts the meaning of the hadith. Now, there is a very, very weak narration, almost fabricated, which is in some of the tertiary books mentioned, Ibn Sunni and his Amal Yawm al-Layla, which is a very tertiary book, and it is well known to be full of weak traditions. Imam An-Nawawi mentions this hadith and then says this is a very strange hadith with people that don't know in the chain. So this is where it comes from. What does it say? It says, but it is not from the Prophet ﷺ, it's a mistake to attribute to him, that when one of you is concerned about a matter, let him pray istikhara 7 times and then let him follow the intuition of his heart, because that intuition will be what is good for him. Now, this hadith does mention intuition, but it is not a hadith. It's not authentic. We should say it's not an authentic hadith. So there is no such thing as feeling of the heart. Also, this notion of dreams and istikhara. There is no hadith that links dreams with istikhara. Now, can a dream show you something good? Yes. So if a dream happens, take it into account. But there is no inherent linkage between istikhara and dreams. So to be clear, dreams are a generic blessing from Allah. They can happen without istikhara and with istikhara. A true dream, if it's interpreted properly, might indeed be something you should act upon. But a dream and istikhara are not intrinsically linked together. Some people think they're going to see a dream, based on the dream they have to do with istikhara. No. We need to be very clear. Almost inevitably, when you have an option in front of you, your heart is already either inclined to accept it or reject it. In fact, generally speaking, you will only get to istikhara when you are seriously considering the offer. Right? Generally speaking, you're kind of sort of already somewhat interested, generally. I'm not saying you have to be. There's nothing wrong at all with your heart even certain, I want to do this. No problem. It doesn't ruin the istikhara. The istikhara is a dua to Allah to grant you what is best. It's as simple as that. There's no magic formula. There's no a'udhu billah. No, it's nothing mythology, nothing like this. It is a dua to Allah that, oh Allah, whatever is best, make that easy for me. There's nothing to do with your emotions, with your dreams, with your intuition. Now, could you use your intuition and dreams? Perhaps. But in and of itself, istikhara has nothing to do with internal intuitions and internal dreams. So, you make your istikhara and you then go with whatever you want to. And if you're confused, go ahead and choose one of the two and go with it. Because here's the point. Your istikhara will then automatically guide you to that which is best. And if you wish to repeat the istikhara multiple times in and of itself before you make the decision, there's nothing intrinsically wrong if you pray istikhara occasionally. Now, if you were to do this multiple times, one after the other, that seems to go against the hadith. But once every day or two, you know, once every few days, you're still contemplating, no problem. New information comes to you. You spoke with somebody about your job and you got some new information. Now you're troubled. You want to pray istikhara again. No problem. But see, here's the point. You're not going to see some magic light or some green or red or something that's automatically going to definitively tell you go left or right. That's not going to happen. And it might very well be that you proceed with confusion, with trepidation. You're not 100% sure, am I doing right or wrong? And guess what? You've still done istikhara properly. Don't worry about that. The feelings of the heart are independent about the realities of istikhara. I mean, allow me to go into a personal anecdote. Inshallah, it'll be useful in this regard. I remember a time in my life when I was studying in Medina, and we had our firstborn. My firstborn son was born, alhamdulillah. And at that time, we had been living in that a very old apartment, you know, in student life. And so, alhamdulillah, with the birth of the son and whatnot, alhamdulillah, Allah opened up rizq, because that's what happens. Allah has written for you when you have children, the rizq comes from Allah. And alhamdulillah, we were in a position now to move into a better apartment. And if you know anything about apartment hunting anywhere in the world, it is a nightmare. And if you have known anything about Medina, it is a triple nightmare because of the Hujjaj and pilgrims and whatnot. So anybody who knows this knows, you know. So we spent, my wife and I, weeks traveling around, doing everything, not liking something or whatnot. Finally, we saw an apartment that we both instantaneously fell in love with. It was perfect in every sense. It was in a different district of Medina, and we said, khalas, you know. I spoke with the owner. The owner said, okay, you know what? He verbally agreed. He goes, okay, inshallah, no problem. We'll agree. Just come back tomorrow with the deposit and we'll sign the contract, okay? My wife and I are super happy, elated. We find after weeks, we've discovered it. It was literally, you know, first sight, we fell in love with the place. Come back home, and I had already verbally agreed and I had not prayed istikhara. That's fine, fine, no problem, because there was nothing binding yet. It's just a verbal agreement. I come home, I pray 2 rak'ah. I kid you not. Within few minutes, the landlord-to-be calls up. And he is so apologetic, and he's like, you know, I'm so sorry, but when you left, my cousin came and told me, who are these people? Because it was his building. I said, oh, they're renting the apartment. My cousin got furious, or not furious, but, you know, irritated, like, hey, I'm your cousin. How could you not rent me the apartment? So he really apologized that, would I be willing to break my verbal contract? You know, because he felt bad that he verbally agreed. And I said, you know, it's your cousin, subhanAllah. How can I come between you and your cousin if he wants to be your neighbor? And that's double, yani, silat rahim and whatnot. And I interpreted this to be the result of my istikhara. Okay? Because he was eager, we were eager, everything was fine. It was literally after the istikhara, he calls up and he apologizes profusely. He goes, anything I do, make it up. If I have other apartments, I go, no, no, we like this one. Khalas, end of story. SubhanAllah, within 2 days, walking distance from our first apartment, we saw the second apartment that we fell in love with even better than the first one that we saw. And we moved into that apartment and we lived there for the next 5 years. My second son and my first daughter were born in that one, and then we moved back to America. So we lived in that apartment till we left. So subhanAllah, that's what I'm trying to say. When I prayed istikhara, my heart was totally with that apartment. I wanted it. I wanted that apartment. But that's the point. I made dua to Allah that, oh Allah, if this is better for me, write it for me. And if not, turn it away from me. And what happened? It was turned away. And we got a much better apartment for a better deal, walking distance from the haram. Sometimes we could walk there, sometimes we take the car. What better did you want? SubhanAllah, right? So that's what I'm trying to say. Salat al-istikhara is not some dream or some personal intuition, or you have to have some neutrality and not lean towards one way. SubhanAllah, let's be honest here. If I'm giving a hypothetical example. If Google company, I'm giving a hypothetical, this is not a free plug for Google, gave you a job offer for, I don't know, a 6-digit salary with perks and free pizzas every day, I don't know what it is, you know, Google companies have all these perks, and you had no other offer, don't you think your heart would be inclined towards that company? Of course it will. So if you were to pray istikhara with your heart inclined towards the company, no problem, pray it, but you should pray it. Even if you're certain you want it, go ahead and pray it, because you never know, something might happen and come in the way, and something better will then be given to you. So pray istikhara, make your decision, whatever it is. Even if you're vacillating, even if you're unsure, our sister says she's prayed istikhara, she's still unsure. So then go ahead, make up your mind, one of the two, based upon what your parents say, what your loved ones say, based upon your whatever, choose whatever factors. And guess what? If your decision was wrong, Allah, inshaAllah, Azza wa Jal, Allah, Azza wa Jal will maneuver the world around you so that you choose the right decision. And if your decision was right, doors will continue to open up. And this is something that our classical scholars mention. Ibn Taymiyyah and others, they mention this type of reality. You pray istikhara, you have sincerity, you have yaqeen, you have tawakkul. Allah says in the Quran, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Once you make a decision, khalas, bismillah, do it and put your trust in Allah. That's what salat al-istikhara comes. Now, another issue we have to talk about when it comes to istikhara, and I had somebody come up to me, a sister came up to me some years ago, very confused. She said, Sheikh, you know, I prayed istikhara at the time of marriage, but now my husband's divorcing after 5-6 years or whatever, and you know, I knew the family. So, you know, I don't understand. I felt good, you know, we did istikhara, and now my marriage is ending. How come? So our dear sister felt that by praying istikhara, basically she's signing up to a foolproof, yani mashallah, 100%, you know, money back guarantee, basically, right? As we say in English, right? That no problem, no issue, that everything's going to be rosy. And again, that's not understanding the philosophy of istikhara. And I said to the sister that, you know, she had, I forgot, 2 or 3 children. I said, these beautiful children that you have, would you rather go back in time and not have a marriage and no children? Or would you rather, khalas, okay, it's ending, but now you have these beautiful children? And she goes, no, of course, they're worth the whole world, they're worth everything. I said, khalas, there's your istikhara right there. That's it right there. Istikhara does not mean that whatever you do is not going to be painful, some aspect of it. If that were the case, then this whole world, you pray istikhara before every decision. No, this world is a world of trial. This world is a world of tribulation. This world is a world of pain and suffering. Everything that you love will also come back to hurt you if it's related to this world. Only the love of Allah and the love of the Quran and the love of the Prophet ﷺ will never, ever, ever harm you in any way. But the love of any created object, Ibn Taymiyyah says, you love money, you love your spouse, you love your children. The very object of your love will also give you some pain. And we all know this, that's the reality, right? Love of the makhluq will always have a little bit of pain as well. The goal is that there's more love than pain. Love of the Khaliq and related to the Khaliq is nothing but good. So anyway, point being, our dear sister misunderstood, and I hope none of you misunderstands. Praying istikhara does not mean before marriage that you're never going to have a divorce. That the marriage is going to be, mashallah, tabarakallah, cloud nine, honeymoon phase till you die. No, who said that? Praying istikhara means getting married was better for you than remaining single. Simple as that. It's the better of the two options. And if that marriage ends for whatever reason, it was still better for you to have done that and to have gone through that experience than to not have done it. That's what istikhara means. And that's an important point that we need to realize, that istikhara means it is the better of the two alternatives. Not that that alternative is going to be pain-free and a piece of Jannah. Now, final point before we conclude, inshallah ta'ala, and that is that, okay, how do I get asked this question a lot as well. How do I know that doors are being shut when they're not fully shut? Like, there's one thing fully shut. For example, you apply to a job and you're interested, you pray istikhara, they reply back, sorry, you're rejected, okay, or you didn't get the job. Or you propose and the family, for whatever reason, says, we're not interested, thank you, but, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Khalas, that door is shut. Okay, you know that, there's nothing you can do. How about if it's not fully shut? How about if it's still in limbo and you're not sure? Well, is that a yes or a no from Allah Azza wa Jal? The response, you may continue to pray istikhara and continue to try as long as your heart is inclined to do so and there is a logistical opportunity. Simple example, that you propose for a family, again, being realistic example, realistic scenario, and for whatever reason, the father-to-be or the father of the lady says that, you know, or even somebody else, it doesn't have to be like, well, we're not interested right now, okay? Or he puts an unreasonable condition, which is still reasonable in his paradigm. Your salary is this and this. When you get to the higher salary, then we will consider. By the way, subhanAllah, I mean, that's not a very Islamic reason, by the way, because subhanAllah, akhlaq and religion are far more precious than any money in this world. To find a young man upon religion and upon deen and upon good akhlaq is priceless. To find a man that has millions but doesn't have any khushu' and taqwa and fear of Allah and good manners, of what use is that millions? But anyway, I'm just giving an example that suppose the father-in-law says, now, let's not say millions, let's be realistic. Let's say that the young man is still in college. Let's be realistic. And the father says, you know what, I might be interested, but you have to have a roof over your head. That's a reasonable condition. Now he's not asking for millions. Now he's asking, you're marrying my daughter. I mean, you have to have a reasonable apartment. You have to have a decent place. That's a reasonable condition, right? That's not unreasonable. Now, the young man might misinterpret, oh, is this a shutting of the door? Is Allah telling me it's not going to happen? In this case, we say that no, as long as there's a possibility, you may continue to pray istikhara, and you may continue to pursue, and perhaps a time will come when your heart itself says, you know what, okay, maybe it's best I move on. And at that stage, you can move on as well. My point is that it is not a problem to continue to make dua, to continue to pray istikhara and try as long as there's a reasonable option. Now, obviously, if the young lady you're interested in happens to get married, then obviously, khalas, there is no istikhara there. Okay, qaddar Allah ma shafa, you accept Allah's qadr, she married somebody else. Okay, I'm not, nothing can be done about that. Bottom line is that istikhara and attempting to get to your goal may be done as long as there is a reasonable goal. And when that goal is completely shut and it is gone, then you accept Allah's qadr and you move on from that. And I'll conclude by a hadith in Sunan At-Tirmidhi, which Imam At-Tirmidhi calls gharib, but the concept is valid, that the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said that of the happiness of the son of Adam is his istikhara with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of the happiness of the son of Adam is that he is content with what Allah has decreed. And of the unfortunate sadness of the son of Adam is that he leaves istikhara. And of the misfortune of the son of Adam is that he is not happy at what Allah has decreed for him. End of hadith. So, to pray istikhara will make you happy, and to leave istikhara will make you sad. I advise myself and all of you to always pray istikhara for every major decision of your life. Anything that is significant, changing your house, investing, moving, doing a different job, you know, marriage, or anything of a major issue that will impact you, and you know what is a major issue, then pray 2 rak'ah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say dua al-istikhara from the heart. Raise your hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you know what it means. I summarized it and translated it for you. Say it from the heart, and then bismillah. Make up your mind and go for it. And if it is written for you, Allah will open doors and you will find it easy. And if it's not written for you, a phone call will come out of nowhere and simply say, thanks but no thanks. And then you will accept that qadr of Allah and move on to another opportunity, realizing that that opportunity will be better for you. Inshallah, we'll see you next Tuesday. Until then, Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
فانتصر وحملته في فلكك المشحون يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون